frustration. Frustration is a toxic killer. It creeps up on you. And there's, you know, you ever heard, there's just, anybody say this? There's just a lot of little things frustrating me today. Or how about flip that coin around? If it wasn't for this thing trying to frustrate me, I'd be fine. I want you to know what the word frustrate means. It means to grind against. It means to grind against. It means to grind and oppose something or to chafe against something and bring it to a halt. It's out to stop your progress. And what is the devil trying to use it for? He's trying to get it into our lives to aggravate us, to distract us, and to hinder our faith. Now, I don't mean gender, you know, gender. I don't mean gender. I don't mean like a generic. That's the word I was looking for. I don't mean a generic faith. You know, like, well, what's your faith? Or, well, I'm Catholic, I'm Protestant, I'm this and that. I mean your actual confidence in God to help you. Your confidence in God to perform His promises in your life. Your confidence that cooperates with Him and allows Him to perform His oath in your life. The book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says this. It says that God performs the work of faith, our faith in God, with His power. Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit, He said that the Father within me, He does the works. Same Father in Him doing the works is the same Father in you doing the works. We trust God and believe what He says. Whew, and we settle down into a what the Bible calls a rest, resting in the Lord. And He does the works. Because the one who does it gets the glory. The one who does it gets the fame and attention. Is he some kind of spotlight hog? No. By Him being good to you, it shows He can be good to anybody. Amen. And He wants to accomplish things in our life by His trust and by His power. Amen. All right. Let's look at this in the Word tonight. Hallelujah. Let's look at this in the Word tonight. Go over to John chapter 14. John, the 14th chapter, verse 27. Now, one of our friends used to be in our church. I would ask her, how do you know this is Jesus talking? And she'd always be clutch with the statement, it's in red. So this is Jesus talking. He says, peace, I leave with you. Now notice, it's not a generic peace. What kind of peace is it, Master? He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You know, let's not skip over that part. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He doesn't give it to you and then take it away later. He doesn't give it to you with strings attached. He doesn't give it to you and then want to make caveats like, well, you can only use it on these certain days at this certain time. And we said you were going to get all the peace, but actually you're only going to get 65% of the peace. No. He doesn't give like the world gives. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? And he's just, I thought about this. This just popped into my head, and I'm so thankful. Isn't he marvelous? He is just so marvelous. Thank God for him. Who else are you going to thank? Thank God for Jesus. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Part of this word trouble right here, it means, it implies frustration. We're going to talk about sources and areas where frustration is, but you don't need an excessive definition of frustration. You know exactly what it is. You're dealing with it right now in your life. It's grinding against you. It's rubbing against you. It's rubbing you raw every day. It's bothering you. Frustration. But he says, don't let your heart be frustrated. And he also says, don't let your heart be afraid. That means frustration and fear are our choice. Oh, we think they're not. They just creep in so sneakily and they just show up and And we turn around, they're in the corner eating our snacks and watching our TV. I'm like, when'd you get here? And they're like, we've been here for weeks. They sneak in and they hang out. But this, our Lord and our best friend, is saying to us in his covenant that frustration and to be agitated in heart and in our spirit and to be afraid is our choice. You know, we've talked about it before, but we need to hear it again and again. I love the fact so much that Jesus continually is restoring our lost sense of choice, our lost sense of having a say-so in the outcome of our destiny. He's putting the choice back in our hands safely, saying, no, 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 the choice is yours. And what you choose, I'll enforce or allow. Amen. That mean he let me go to hell? You better know it. He's not going to take that decision away from you. He loves you too much to take your choice away from you. He loves you so much, he's giving your choice back to you and letting you know you have it. Amen. But in the beginning, he says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Oh, it's his personal peace. Now, in the Old Testament, the word peace, shalom, has many, many, many definitions. It means wholeness. It means prosperity. It means to be successful. It means having a sense of nothing is missing that's required. There's no missing link. There's no, yeah, it just seems like something's missing. No, it seems like nothing's missing. That's that sense of peace. It's quietness. It's contentment. It's also the word used to describe the actual presence of God. Amen. Well, all those things are in God's presence. Success and contentment and joy, all of them are in peace. All of them are in his presence. Amen. One other word for it, now get this, is also friendship. Friendship. It's the effect of being friends with God. In fact, the book of Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17, I'll read it to you real quick. You just make a note of it in your notes or in your Takata app. You can open it real quick. The Takata Bible app, which we highly recommend you get for your mobile devices. Isaiah 32, 17. Says, and the work of righteousness, the work of being made God's very best friends in blood covenant with him, says, shall be peace. Well, which does it mean? Does it mean friendship? Does it mean wholeness? Does it mean quietness? Does it mean an absence of dread? Does it mean best friendship? Does it mean prosperity? Yes. It means all of it. The work of being made his very best friend is peace. Look what he goes on to say. The effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. The New Testament talks about, the New Testament, let's say it like this in more accurate technical terms. The New Covenant says that the work, talking about righteousness, that we have a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Peaceable, peaceful, a peaceful fruit of righteousness. The fruit of being made God's very best friends is wholeness, is friendship, is success. Listen, when you know God's your very best friend and he's not going to quit on you or leave you or forsake you or leave you high and dry, your success going somewhere to happen. You can be confident. Man, God's helping me. He's helping me every day of my life. And I'm I'm thrilled about it. Hallelujah. Well, let me just make this statement off the bat. And I know this is God's, you know, this is the Holy Spirit getting God's will over to us tonight. Frustration is not the will of God. Amen. Now that may be, I know it doesn't sound very deep, but we're not trying to be deep. Frustration is not the will of God. I mean, all the way from the biggest aggravation at work or lawsuit or political frustration, all the way down to the mail, the U.S. mail lost your package and you're frustrated. All of it is the same source. The devil using something to try to agitate you, aggravate you, grind your faith to a halt by feelings and a sense of, you know, one thing, I hadn't written this down, but the Lord's just showing me right here where I'm talking to you. One part of frustration is to make you think that there's no other option other than just to take this negativity right in the chin. And that couldn't be further from the truth. I said it couldn't be just to have to roll over and just take this negative situation. Like it took your say-so away from you. Like it took your choice in the outcome away from you. And nothing could be further from the truth. There's scripture after scripture that says this, that in Romans chapter 8, verse 27, that we have been made more than conquerors through him that loved us. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 says that God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3. In there it talks about that he always, God, always, our best friend, God, our source, and best friend, always causes us to triumph. Jesus said, if you can believe, meaning if you can believe what's been said to you from me, my message, all things are possible to you. He later said in the very next chapter, that was Mark 9, 23, Mark 10, 27, he said, with God, our best friend, all things are possible. Listen, I'm going to tell you, it's never over. You may have things frustrating you, and we're going to get into the reasons why, but I'm going to let one out of the bag already. One thing that's trying to frustrate you, or you may have seen try to frustrate you, is that you can't see the outcome. You can't find a solution for this problem. Oh, yeah, that's a major source of frustration. Like, I got this thing, and it just won't go away, and I don't know what to do about it. Well, here's the problem. But there's also all this dadgum pressure that goes with it. All this nasty, all this grinding against you frustration. I'm going to show you right here real quick in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 20. Now, I want you to hear this real quick. Now hear this. Hear ye, hear ye. When the Bible says in Deuteronomy, it says that God will bring all these things on you, these curses, these that. Scholars have shown in the Hebrew, it's actually implying God will allow it to come on you because you sided in against him. It's not petty. He's saying, listen, I've got a blood covenant with you, but if you reject it and break it, I've got to let all this stuff come on you. I won't like it, but I'm going to keep my word. God's integrity is unbreakable. And God's integrity will not be allowed to be broken for any person. Amen. That's a great comfort to us because we know that his word is always good. Aren't you glad that there isn't somebody out there who's going to get special preferential treatment, that God's going to change the rules for them? You think about it. One of the frustrating things we're seeing right now in politics is there are certain people the rules apply to, and there are certain people it don't. And that's frustrating. But it's only frustrating if you don't remember your covenant. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this to you. At the Lord's direction, I sense the Holy Spirit in my heart, quickening it to me to read. Ephesians chapter 2, just make a note of it. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says this. Make that verse 12. Ephesians 2, verse 12. It says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a very frustrating place to be. But we're not there anymore. Later on down in that chapter, it says that we've been made nigh unto God, and we've been brought into the family, and we are now in God's covenant. Thank God for it. We are now blood covenant best friends and children with Almighty God and his Son, our elder brother, our Lord Jesus himself. And his Spirit dwells in us and binds us together. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Well, the devil's still going to try to make you, devil, darkness, is still going to use things to try to frustrate you, to make you forget about your covenant, to make you forget that you've got a blood covenant with God. Let me just say this. If you've got a blood covenant with God, if you've gone all in all the time with God and you're in his blood covenant as a believer, you've accepted God's hand of friendship through Jesus Christ, you always have an option. And you've always got backup. You've always got a solution to bring about a positive outcome. Amen. It's him. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm backing you 100%, kiddo. I got your best friend. I like what Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, man, I get so much mileage out of this. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 says this. He said, I will not fail you nor forsake you. Hey, oh, you can breathe a big sigh of relief just hearing that. Hey, listen, I may right at this moment have some things trying to frustrate me. But God's my best friend, and he won't fail me. He's got a solution to this for me, and he's going to help me see it and help me know it. And I'm going to trust him, and he's going to bring about a favorable outcome for me. Hey, just hearing that, you can just sense it. It just causes the frustration to go, the intensity. Yeah, I like that. All the steam gets taken out of frustration. You're just like, frustration goes limp. It's just, why? Because there's an outcome. God will help you. Hallelujah. All right, Deuteronomy 28, verse 20. Says the Lord himself, I'm going to read this to you from the New Living Translation. And remember, when it says the Lord will send and things like that, it means that he's allowing this to be sent because someone has forgotten, broken, or rejected his covenant with them. Okay? The Lord himself will send on you curses. Now look at this. This isn't the blessing that he talks about through the first 11, 12, 13 verses. This is the curses. The blessing is for going with his covenant. The curses are for going against his covenant. Well, hey, simple solution. Let's go with his covenant. It's the best place you ever wanted to live anyway. But look at this. He says, the Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in everything you do. I don't want that. Well, you don't have to have that. Galatians chapter 3, mark it down. This, we don't have time to do an in-depth study on this, but Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says this, that Christ, the anointed one, our Lord Jesus, our best friend, has rescued us from all of the curse. He took it all on himself so that the blessing of Abraham might come on. Let me say it like this. Any part of the curse trying to gain entrance or exist in your life, you've been rescued from it. And it's time to kick it out of your life and resist it and push back. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, about resisting. Same method. No, I'm not tolerating this. You don't have to tolerate frustration on any level in any area of your life anymore. Because you are blood covenant best friends with God. Amen. And he's made resources and assets available for you so that you could have his help and have impossible things, impossible situations turn out great, like it was like that all the time. Oh, it's so good. It's so good to have God's help and bring about favorable situations. Amen. But notice this. Confusion and frustration, and boy, they go together. You're confused, you don't know what to do, and thereby you are, wait for it, frustrated. Confusion and frustration in everything you do is the curse. And Jesus has rescued you from it. Let's put it like this. Confusion and frustration are contraband in your life. Amen. Well, what did John 14, 27 say that we just read? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Yeah, instead of frustration, peace. Peace is our inheritance. Peace is our, oh, I like that, Lord. Peace is our benefit for being in blood covenant with God. You notice he didn't say the work of righteousness and being made God's very best friend is a whole lot more frustration, so you just better get ready. That's not what the word said. It said the work of righteousness. I mean, when he says the work, he means the effect in our life. What it goes to work on and cause to happen in our life is peace, is wholeness, is everything is good. Success and favor over here, quietness and contentment, clear conscience, awareness of his friendship, all wrapped up in the word peace, his peace. And what did Jesus say? He said, I leave it with you. I give you my very own peace. Hey, let's stop right there for a moment and just say thank you. Say this with me. Thank you, Master. Say thank you, best friend. I have your peace. Now, hear what you may be thinking, but I don't feel it. Hey, you got to decide you believe it and then you feel it later. I don't mean later as in years. I mean, you make the decision that you believe it first and then the results come second. That's God's way of doing things. We decide first, we believe first, we feel and see second. It has to be like that. We have to have a decision because a decision is us opening the door that he won't do for us because that takes away our choice. And the only person trying to do that is Satan, the devil, and darkness. So we decide, sir, I decide I believe it. That opens the door. And he's standing there at the door going, are you ready? Peace. Flood this house. Flood this person. And we're like, oh, this is the peace I've been looking for. Thank you, God. That decision to accept his peace, to believe it, and to take it, to receive it, has to be there first. Why? Because that's how best friends are. I'm not going to kick your door open and say, here, take this steak dinner I just bought you. That's rude. That's not how you give. That's not how a God who is He is committed generosity. He is love. And he is faithful. He's not rude. He doesn't force his love upon you. Humans do that. He doesn't do that. Amen. Well, what does he do? He lets you know, hey, I'm out here. I got a whole bunch of peace with your name on it. I got a whole bunch of solutions to your problems, to cancel out all this frustration with your name on it. You want some? Can I give it to you? You're like, yes, sir. And he goes, well, I need you to open the door. And this is where a lot of religion gets involved. I just don't know. If it's his will for me to have all this peace, you know, he maybe want me to be frustrated, try to teach me something. Yeah, to open the door and let him give you peace. And to get rid of that frustration. That's what he's want you to learn. So open the door and take it from him. Revelation chapter 3, 20 through 23. Jesus says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. There is no frustration when Jesus is in your kitchen cooking you dinner. He's handling everything. Praise God. Now, I didn't see that he's in, God's in control. You don't see that in there. It says that we gave him access by cooperation, and then he caused his power to go to work. Do you see that? Amen. Well, look at this word he used in John chapter 14. Remember he said, let not your heart be troubled. The word trouble here, in one definition, means to agitate. It means to stir. I like this one, to cause inward commotion, to take away calmness of mind, to disturb equanimity, to disquiet or make restless, to strike one's spirit with fear or dread. You ever notice frustration? If you pulled on the thread of that sweater and unraveled it, what you'd find underneath frustration is fear. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to change the outcome. and it's trying to sell me an outcome I don't want. It's bothering me. It means to render anxious or distressed. It also means to perplex the mind of one. This is the word trouble that Jesus used. To perplex the mind of one by suggesting scruples or doubts. To suggest scruples or doubts that perplex the mind. To frustrate. You can't see a way to fix the problem. Hallelujah. But let me show you this. Praise God. Philippians chapter 4. Let's go over there together. Philippians chapter 4. Now, some of this may sound a little bit familiar because, yes, we have touched on several of these things before. But you see, all these things are not supposed to work separately. They're all meant to work together. So if there's some overlap, then praise God. You're getting some extra reps and those other useful components that all fit together and make the one big system of trusting God and resting in Him. Amen. Listen, Jesus said this to me a long time ago. He said, you go tell them this is a gospel of grace. And it's a gospel of rest. And he pointed his finger at me, similar to how I'm pointing it at you. He said, it's a gospel of rest. I believe it, and I don't work myself to death to have it. I believe it, and his grace goes to work. And I'm resting while his grace does the work. Amen. So where does the fight of faith come in that we hear about? Fight the good fight of faith. The fight's to stick with it. To not be talked out of it. And to stick with it until we see the desired result. The fight is to stay in rest. No, sir, I'm not giving up. I'm sticking with you. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, be careful for nothing. You know what we could put in there and not have it change a bit and not do anything to the scripture? Be frustrated for nothing. Ooh, I've never seen it like that. Pause while I write this down, because that was inspiration. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be frustrated for nothing. Yes, sir. Yeah. Be frustrated for nothing. He said, but by everything, by everything. That's not what it says. I'm getting excited. Let me back up one second. Be frustrated or be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving means, you know, God's going to fix this. Oh, thank you, God, for handling this. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, listen, I thought I was going to talk about this later, but the Lord's bringing it up right here and now. Earlier, even tonight, I prayed this prayer by the leading of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean? It came up in my heart and it seemed good. And it seemed like the Holy Spirit was giving me a witness or two thumbs up, a green light to go ahead and pray it for myself. So, and when I did, I said, man, I get it. I see it. And I knew that from him that he wanted me to have you and I pray it together. So let's pray this prayer together. So repeat after me. Heavenly Father, my best friend, any area of frustration in my life, any open door where I'm allowing frustration to come in, show me. And show me how to fix it, how to shut that door, how to cut it off. Thank you that you've heard me. Thank you for helping me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, look what he says about this prayer. Because you could also pray it like this. Maybe you know the area of frustration. It's this right here. You could say, Master, show me what to do. Father, you're my best friend. Show me what to do about this frustrating problem here. I know you've heard me. Thank you for helping me. He says right here, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Now notice this, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Let me say this right here for you and I. On the record, peace in your heart and in your mind is the will of God. Peace in your heart and in your mind is the will of God. Oh, glory to God. Remember what Jesus said? He said, let not your heart be perplexed, agitated, brought to a doubting questions. Let means it's a choice. That means at the thickest moment of frustration trying to grip you, you can say, no, I refuse to be frustrated. I refuse to be troubled. I refuse to fear. In fact, that's the decision you and I have got to make. Even just today, getting ready for tonight, I had some things try to pop up and frustrate me. You know what? Let's just say this too. I'm getting ahead of myself, but make this a note. Things can come back from your past that have long since been, you know, vanished from history. Means that it's long in your past. And you can think about it and feel frustrated like it just happened to you. What is that? It's the devil trying to frustrate you. He'll frustrate you out of something, or he'll try to bring frustration to you out of with something from your childhood. He'll try to frustrate you about something your wife said 3 days ago. Something somebody said to you in a store 2 weeks ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago. He'll try to frustrate you about your family, something they did to you 40 years ago. Oh, yeah. He'll find anything he can do to try to agitate, disturb, damage your quietness, cause a sense of perplexion, being perplexed and confused and agitated. Try to rile you up. Yep. And he says, the peace of God. Well, then let's let it. Say this with me. Thank you, God. The peace of God. What does he say? Keeps my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. Now, the reason why it requires faith is you do this while you still have feelings of frustration. You do this while you still have things trying to bug you. You say, thank you, Father. Thank you for your peace. Jesus, you gave me your peace. Whew, that means I have it now, whether I feel like it or not. So I decide, I do not let my heart be agitated, riled up, and disturbed. I decide the peace of God. What does he say again? Keep. Guards. The word keep here is also, you know, using from the same word, the castle keep, where it was a fortress. It means to build a fortress around. Peace. Oh, thank you, Lord. Peace builds a fortress around my heart and my mind through the power of our Lord Jesus. Not just my mind, yours. Now, why do I keep having you say stuff? Is because this is how you release confidence in God. This is how you give him access, is by believing in your heart and the words of your mouth. So you say this with me. So go ahead and say it with me. Say, thank you, Father. Your peace guards my heart and my mind right now. Hey, listen, you may be feeling so frustrated, your eyes are watering and you got your jaw clenched. Just do this with me. Put a smile on your face, even if it looks ugly because you're forcing it. And you just take a deep breath. God's handling it. You just allowed him to handle it for you. Oh. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now, let's discuss. We already touched on it a little bit, but let's discuss this some more. Ways frustration tries to get in. Let me show you a principle here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Man My boy Paul, he went through some frustrating stuff, man. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And my Bible just shut on me. That could try to frustrate me. But I refuse to let it. Thank you, God. Your peace mounts garrison, or mounts, that's one way to say it, or puts a guard, builds a fortress around my heart and my mind. Amen. I am frustrated for nothing. Amen. He says this in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. He said, I'm not trying to hide this from you. I want you to know about it. Which came to us in Asia. He said, notice this, our trouble. Ooh, there's that word again. What's he talking about? Something tried to come and agitate us. Something arose to try to frustrate us, damage our peace and quiet, bring questions of doubt and confusion. Same word. Which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed. We were pressured. Something ground against us. He said, out of measure. He said, there was just no measure for it. Yeah, how big's it got to be that there's no longer a unit of measure for it? And he goes on to say, he said, it pressed us out of measure above strength. We didn't have the strength to put up a fight against it. He said, insomuch we despaired even of life. This thing tried to frustrate us to the point we thought we were going to die from it. My friends, that's a frustrating situation. But he says, but we had the sentence, we had the answer of this death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. You know, let me say this. One of the, I hadn't written this down, but the Lord just revealed it to me while I'm reading that. And what do you mean revealed it to you? I suddenly could see it. A major area of frustration is the devil wants to isolate us and think we are on our own and that we got to handle problems in our own strength. We mean in our own strength. That sounds kind of churchy, Brother Duke. I mean this. Try to handle it in our own resources and capacities. Try to handle it in our own thinking. Try to come up with a solution in our mind and try to figure out a way to make it happen. We'll just figure it out. That's where the frustration's getting worse, not better. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Amen. Well, that goes hand in hand with another one. I have four bullet points. We'll make that number one, and so we'll make this five. In fact, I'll write another bullet point down right here. Thank you, Lord. And it's good to say it again. Trying to handle problems in our own resources and capacities is a major source of frustration. It's a major way the devil tries to bring frustration into our life. Trying to handle problems in our own. I'm writing notes and I'm making typos, so give me one second. In our own resources and capacities. You mean you write down your own stuff? Hey, man, this is good. This helps me. So, of course, I'm going to write it down. Absolutely. I'm not going to let it get by me. You know, actually, when God shows you something, writing it down is one way of showing God that you value it and respect it. So, but that goes hand in hand with this one. Another major area that frustration is used against us is not believing things the Holy Spirit is dealing with us to believe. He just said, Proverbs 3:5, trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and leaning not to our own understanding. But yet, you're like, no, I got it. And you know what? No, you don't. You don't got it. You don't got it. But yet, inside your heart, the voice of your best friend, the Lord Jesus, through the Spirit, who is our best friend, the Holy Spirit, is when I say dealing with you, I mean, he's working with you. He's like, hey, now here's your answer right here. Just believe this. Just believe this, and I'll handle the problem for you. No, I got it. My mom and dad, they raised me that, you know, man handles his own problems. Well, hey, grown man, go on and be frustrated then. People have actually questioned and said, you know, isn't giving your cares and anxieties and fears and worries to God, isn't that irresponsible? Not when he's the most qualified to handle it. If we were in a large medical team and there was an issue with a patient and that patient had a brain issue, but I'm a thoracic surgeon, you know, I'm a cardiovascular surgeon. Brain is not my specialty. But, you know, my buddy here, we've known each other for 40 years, and we went to Bible school. We went to medical school together. We did residency together. And he's a world-renowned and published brain surgeon. Me delegating the brain issue to him is the most responsible thing I could do. When God says, be careful for nothing, but in everything that comes up, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, note that down. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. All of it. That's the most responsible thing you could do, is put the care and the fear and the worry in his hands. Put the problem in his hands. Amen. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3, that we that have believed, we that have made the choice that we trust in God based on what he said in his covenant, enter into rest. What's that rest really a rest from? Struggle? Frustration? I'm no longer trying to force an outcome or try to figure it out on my own. I'm trusting him to perform the promise. Listen, God's promises mean he's already got the solution and knew about it from before the foundation of the world for the problem of how to have you pay your bills this month and to supply all your need. Amen. So I'm resting in what he said. I believe him, and I'm letting him handle it. And now I'm resting. Whew, no more frustration. Listen, I'm not ignoring it. We aren't, when we trust in God, we aren't hiding from it. We're not denying it exists. It's not there, it's not there, it's not there. That's not faith. I know it's there. I'm looking right at it. I'm decided that I believe that he's handling it. Based on, I didn't just pick that out of the air, that he told me he would. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I've decided, Lord, I thank you. I've decided I believe you. All my need, it's supplied right now. You're handling it. And I thank you for it. I'm resting. Amen. There is no frustration in rest. I'm resting in what he said. I'm resting in his friendship. Psalms 37 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. To do what? Wait patiently for him to handle it. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Let's put that in everyday English for us. Trust in him. Rest in him. How about this? Be at ease knowing that he's handling it. Be at ease knowing that he's handling it. I like that, don't you? Well, here's another area of frustration. This may be sound like a little bit of a left turn, but I assure you that it's not. Overly complicated things in our life or in our lifestyle. Maybe you've got a lot of things on your plate. This is going to lead into number 4. But overly complicated. How about being frustrated with your faith? Being frustrated with your relationship with God? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to turn over there with me, or you just hit number 2, C-O-R, in your Takata Bible app. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says, "But I," verse 3, says, "But I fear lest by any means, just like the serpent or the snake, Satan, beguiled Eve through his subtlety," he said, "so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." God's things are simple. I was just talking with a very dear friend of mine. He knows who it is. They don't need me to mention his name. But he was bringing up a certain subject that he had brought up to me. We were texting back and forth with one another. Hallelujah. And we were talking back and forth. And I said, "Listen, man, this has really helped me over the years to discern whether something I'm hearing, no matter which speaker it's from, is coming from the right source." And I said this, and I wasn't smart enough to come up with this. I did this out of my own mind. God, by His Spirit and through my elders, many decades ago, helped me see this. Does it produce bondage and fear in you, or does it produce a sense of freedom and rest and quiet in you? Does it give you faith or confidence in God, or does it bring confusion and fear? And it's just that black and white. God's things are simple. So let's get back to shallow then. Let's get back to in our own life and in our relationship with God, or in our lifestyle. Man, I'm just too busy right now and I'm just so frustrated. Hey, did God give you all that, or did you add all that onto your own plate? You get what I'm saying? Did God put all this in your life, and did He tell you to do all this extra stuff, and did, you know, all these extra activities, and you're so frustrated and this and that, or did you let that get in? Isaiah chapter 55 says that God leads us forth with peace. The Holy Spirit, Romans 8:14, we are led by the Spirit, and He's the Spirit of peace. Amen. Now, He's guiding you back to simple. I don't mean simple as in inelegant or, you know, stupid or something like that. I mean simple as in easy. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That sounds like simple, easy, and light. What does someone say when you say, what do you say to someone when they say to you, "Hey, can you do this?" "Oh, yeah, easy." Or you could just as easily say, "Oh, yeah, that's simple." It's the same thing. He said, "My yoke is simple, it's easy, and my burden is light." It's not frustrating. It's not God putting all the frustration in our lives. It's all the extra stuff we add to it. it's all the other stuff. And that brings us to, hey, listen, this flows right into this isn't a comprehensive list, mind you. This is just the ones that He gave me to address tonight for you. Another source of frustration is that we may be involved in something that God didn't tell you to do. Proverbs 13, verse 15 says this, that the way of the transgressor is hard. Now, I'm not trying to imply that you're some sort of grievous sinner, but I mean like that the way of going against His plan is hard. And it's really easy to tell in your heart if you'll sit down and just take a minute and be quiet. Are you pushing this, or is God's grace in it? Is it easy and light? Man, is God just bringing it along with His power, or are you trying to force it down the road? Listen, I've had all of that I want in my life. I don't want any more of that. That's one thing I so much love about what God's doing, that we get to be involved in it with Misfit Toy Society, is that I know He's making it go. He's causing it to to work. I'm just running to keep up. Praise God. I heard one of my elders in the faith say this years ago. He said, "You're struggling with a plan that the Lord didn't give you." You're struggling with a plan that the Lord didn't give you. Are you struggling? Man, are you frustrated with about this? You're trying to make this thing. Did God tell you to do that? Hey, let's settle down and let's get simple again. Cut out all that extra stuff that God didn't tell you to do. I don't know about any of it. Hey, that's fine. Put it all on the table and just wait and let the Lord show you what he wants you to do. And if it's none of it, walk away from all of it. It's not worth your peace. Hey, it's easy. Just humble yourself. Say, "God, I apologize. I added all this busyness to myself and you weren't in it." Amen. Lastly, again, this isn't a comprehensive list. This is just the things he had me bring up to talk about. Do we have undecided things? Things we haven't made a decision about. I hear this scripture from Joel, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." Listen, just settle down and make a decision. Just decide that you're going to go with God. And that brings us right into this. First steps to take when things are frustrating you. Even if in your mind you don't know what to do. In fact, most of the time you won't know in your mind what to do. In your mind, I said, not in your heart, in your mind. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Well, hey, there is no better first decision than that. Lord, I decide. I can't see what to do, and this thing is trying to frustrate me no end, but I decide I have faith in God. I decide I trust you. I like what Psalms 91, verse 2 says this. He says, it says that we say of the Lord. Notice we got to say it. We profess it. We announce it. He said, "I will trust in you." In fact, the whole scripture says that I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress, he is my refuge, and my God in whom I will trust. Notice, it's not just now, it's for all of his future. Oh, I like that. He's made up his mind. He's made the decision, "Lord, I trust you." Isn't that a fabulous decision? That's a fabulous anti-frustration decision. I like that. That's a fabulous anti-frustration decision. I have faith in God. God, I put my faith in you. Amen. I remember when we got, our church was meeting in a facility. And, you know, the facility sold and good for them. And we suddenly were going to be homeless in 30 days. And I didn't know where to go. And it was trying to bother me. It was trying to frustrate me. And I said, "Sir, I don't have an answer for this yet in my own mind, but I decide this right here and now." I did it in my upstairs bathroom before shaving one Sunday morning for church. I said, "I decide I have faith in God. I decide I trust you, and I'm sticking with you, and you're helping me." Hey, listen, the problem was still there. It hadn't been settled yet. But the problem was no longer jerking me around. The problem was no longer manipulating frustration in my life. I'd made a decision about it. I made a decision that I'm trusting him. That's a great immediate action. That's a great first step decision to take, as I decide I have faith in God. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1? He said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. He says this, but we had, this is the decision they came to. This was the answer, but to trust in God, which raiseth the dead. That was the answer that got them through. Then he goes on in verse 10, says, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, and in whom we trust he will yet deliver. That's past, present, and future. But notice what got him there. A decision of trust put in God. God, I'm sticking with you and I trust you. That's a fabulous anti-frustration step number one. Amen. God, I don't know what to do, but you do. And I trust in you and I'm sticking with you. Hey, listen, before we go tonight, I want you to hear this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, four or five armies were coming against the king of Jehoshaphat of Judah. That's a frustrating situation because they didn't have enough. He said, we have no might against this army, against this power. And Jehoshaphat called a fast and turned to God. That's an excellent step number one. God, and he says this at the end of verse 12 in 2 Chronicles 20. He says this, O God, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. He says, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Man. I wrote this down talking about letting your requests be made known unto God and being frustrated for nothing. We've got to get it out of our heads and into his hands. What do you mean it? The problem. And make that first step decision. I decide I trust in you. I'm deciding I trust you. That part's settled. Amen. I want you to hear this. Psalm 55:11. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast our burden. Now remember our scripture, Psalm 23:1, the Passion Translation. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. Cast your burden upon the Lord, your best friend. He'll sustain you. It says he'll never suffer the righteous. He'll never suffer his best friends to be moved, to be shook. Shook by what? Frustration, confusion, doubt. Amen. Hey, listen, we have exactly 2 minutes before I want to try to wrap this up. Let me say this. James 4:6. Talking about God, that he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He said, so submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You want another great anti-frustration step? Resist it. Lord, I trust in you, and I resist frustration. Frustration, I resist you. I'm submitted to God. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't that good? We resist it. We trust in God, and we resist it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right.